Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about Tesla finally making the decision to drop prices in China. We also have the 10Q filing for the third quarter earnings report, some news on Tesla in Mexico, and a couple other items as well. Definitely an interesting day for the stock to start off the week. This morning Tesla was down in the 7-8% range or so, clawing back a little bit throughout the day as the macro rose as well. Tesla finishing down just 1.5%, closing at $211.25. A lot going on with these price changes in China. Certainly not the only thing going on there, as Xi Jinping confirmed to be taking his third term, and a lot of corresponding reappointments within the party. Chinese stocks have not fared terribly well today, especially in the EV sector. If we look at XPeng, NIO, and Li Automotive, they were all down 12%, 15%, and 17% respectively on the day today. We'll talk more about China in a second, but of course the other question being heavily discussed around Tesla today is whether or not Elon Musk has been selling. That question especially prevalent this morning when the stock was down so significantly. But because we did have that China news, Tesla already being down in the pre-market, it does make it difficult to draw any correlation. We did have a higher volume day today, about 100 million shares traded. So red candles, high volume, it can make it look like there is a pretty big seller in the market. So we'll find out within the next couple of days if this has been Elon. Of course, we need a Form 4 within 2 business days of any trade. There's also been some debate today about whether or not Elon could even sell today. There was some old filing that had said it needs to be 24 hours after the filing of a 10Q. So we got that this morning, but maybe they filed it on Friday. But that point appears to be moot, as Gary Black did get an answer from Tesla and said that that specific restriction is not in place. That was just for one specific period of time where Tesla was doing a capital raise. So we'll see what happens. Could be Elon, could just be market makers taking advantage of this volatility, pushing the stock below $200, triggering a bunch of stop loss orders at that level, scooping up those shares and then letting it come back. So we'll find out shortly, and then hopefully this will be the last week of this Twitter uncertainty, as of course that October 28th deadline is this Friday. All right, let's move into the biggest topic for today, and of course that is Tesla making the decision to reduce prices in China. Hopefully nobody is too surprised by this. Of course, we've been talking about this as a possibility for at least a month now. There had been rumors that this might happen right away at the turn of the quarter. We didn't quite see that, but now a few weeks later, we are, and Tesla has reduced pricing on all trims. I've put all of that into a table, so on the left, we can see the changes in Chinese RMB, and then on the right, we can see how that converts over to US dollars. Right now, the table we're looking at is prior to the new energy vehicle subsidy amount, and that would be about 11,000 RMB, or about 1,500 US dollars. We'll look at that in a second. But as far as from Tesla's end, we're seeing about a 5% reduction across the board, with the exception being the long-range Model Y, which has been decreased by about 9%. If we flip the table to be after that incentive is factored in, then for the Model 3, we can see that for eligibility, there is no change. It is still just the Model 3 rear-wheel drive. So in that case, a 5% cut on Tesla's end, also a 5% cut for the consumer. However, that does actually now allow a little bit more wiggle room for people to add options and still be able to get that incentive on that rear-wheel drive Model 3. For the Model Y then, as expected, Tesla has dropped the price for the Model Y rear-wheel drive below the 300,000 RMB threshold for that 11,000 RMB subsidy. So from the consumer perspective, effectively what this looks like for that vehicle is an 8.8% price decrease. When we consider the long-range version, then it kind of makes sense to drop it by that 9% number. Otherwise, you're effectively increasing the distance between the two vehicles, making it even more difficult to trade up into that higher trim. And actually, we're kind of seeing that with the performance because Tesla's only dropped that by 5%. So the spread between either the standard or the long-range and the performance is now wider than it was before. At any rate, after considering the subsidy, after converting over to US dollars, the rear-wheel drive Model 3 now starts at about $36,600. The rear-wheel drive Model Y starts at about $39,800. With the Model Y being just below that 300,000 RMB threshold, if any option at all is added, new paint, new wheels, whatever, anything that's not black or midnight silver metallic, any option at all, that's going to push the Model Y above that threshold, effectively adding an additional $1,500 to the price because that subsidy goes away. So a lot of factors here that will influence the mix of the vehicles, but should be a big boost to demand with these lower prices. We've already heard that Tesla's webpage crashed when these price changes were made. So I'm reporting that it has been very well received, generating a lot of interest. Kind of tough to know though until we get a little bit further along how sustained that will be. Q4 should be good. Tesla does say that this 11,000 RMB subsidy does expire at the end of this year. You may remember that we talked about some of these things being extended. That was the purchase tax exemption. So that's actually even a bigger deal. That would otherwise add 10% onto the purchase price. So of course, that's going to outpace any $1,500 subsidy. That exemption is what was extended into next year. So like we've talked about with demand pockets, this will create a little bit of a reverse demand pocket. I don't know what you demand mountain, I guess we can call it, for the end of this quarter. I don't think I've seen anything on that being extended, but I'll have to do more research on that. And if you know more, please pass that along. Anyway, in terms of sustained demand, because obviously when this change is made, there's going to be an influx of orders. But in terms of sustained demand, ARK has done a little bit of research on addressable market by price point. This was US-based research, so it's going to be different in China, but I think still helpful to have that knowledge. Anyway, going from 40,000 down to 37,000, which is kind of the change that we're seeing here in the opening price point, their research showed that increasing the total addressable market from 20% of the market to 25% of the market. So a 5 percentage point increase, but if you want to do a percent on a percent, definitely something you usually want to avoid, but I think it's helpful in this case. That results in your total addressable market being 25% larger. So China, again, will be different, but I do think that's helpful context. All right, so let's take a look at the impact that this move might have on Tesla's financials. If we go back to the price change chart before incentives, these are the prices that are going to be impacting Tesla's financials. So again, in most cases, a 5% drop here, probably the best way to understand the impact is to look at how it would have affected Q3 had the price change already been implemented. So if we look at the 10Q, which was filed today, we'll go into that more in detail later on, but we see that Tesla's revenue in China was about $5.1 billion, or 24% of their total. If we say, okay, let's reduce that by 5, maybe 6%, depending on how that mix gets impacted, that gets you to $250-$300 million less in revenue. Similarly, if we just take Tesla's deliveries in China in third quarter, 120,000 or so, then we look at our price change table and we see that the average change here was around $2,500 after you factor in mix. Well, that would also get you to $300 million. So a couple different ways to estimate that. That gets us to pretty much the same spot, $250-$300 million. That ends up being about 1.2-1.4% of Tesla's worldwide total revenue for the third quarter. All right, all of a sudden, that doesn't seem like such a huge deal. Yes, going forward, that would become a larger number, but Tesla's worldwide revenue is going to become larger too, so we're still probably talking in that ballpark regardless of looking backwards or looking forwards. However, the concern isn't just to that 1.5% or so on the top line, it's how that impacts profitability and earnings, because if you just take off that incremental revenue without lowering your costs, well, it comes straight out of the bottom line. And if we take $300 million out of the bottom line for the third quarter, well, you're reducing earnings by about 9 cents or 9%, and that starts to sound a lot more significant. On the bottom line, though, looking backward or forward, that does make a pretty big difference because as Tesla scales, they gain our favorite couple of words, operational leverage, and that 1.5% hit to revenue, that becomes, even though a larger dollar figure, less significant of a percentage impact to the bottom line. It's a long way around just walking through how growing a business works. You bring your prices down, you bring your costs down, and you grow your addressable market and earn economies of scale. It's what Tesla's been doing forever. It's what they're going to continue to do. The question is less about average selling prices declining over time, setting aside software for a second, and more about if costs are going to decline as well. And that's what I think the market is continuing to misunderstand or underappreciate, just like has pretty much always been the case. Reuters noted in their article on this today that Tesla told Reuters it was adjusting prices in line with costs. Now, that doesn't mean that Tesla is not considering the demand part of this equation too. Obviously, they should be, but we just came out of Shanghai getting significant upgrades, so cost per unit is going to decline a lot, and they've got more cars to sell, so use pricing to get that equation in balance. All right, the last comment I want to make on this is around the timing of this change happening here pretty early in Q4, but not exactly right at the start. Actually, I think makes a lot of sense. And the reason for that is where we're currently at in the delivery wave. Now, I know Tesla said that they're starting to unwind that, but keyword there, starting to unwind it, that's going to take some time. We're definitely still seeing a wave. They just started it a little bit earlier, running that into Q3. But as we move into Q4 now, the first couple of weeks, we have seen very low insured vehicle numbers for Tesla in China. We know they sold almost 78,000 vehicles domestically in September. If they would have gone out and done that and then immediately October 1st raised prices, that's going to be pretty upsetting to those people that just took delivery. Now, you wait a few weeks, it's more understandable. They've got less of a case for that lower price. Many of those customers are likely still going to be upset. I think we've heard some reports on that already today. But I think the further removed you get in time, the less upsetting that becomes in aggregate. So, anyway, point being, you hit that delivery peak, then you go through this delivery trough where you're exporting those cars anyway, which is still what we're seeing Tesla do here early in Q4. Then, as you move through the quarter and you're ready to ramp up domestic deliveries again, make that price change, generate those orders, and you're good to go. By waiting that few weeks, you've probably reduced the negative feelings that those previous customers have as much as you can. They're still going to exist, but hopefully to a lesser degree. All right, a lot of discussion there. This is an important topic. Definitely let me know what your thoughts are, but I am excited now we can move on a little bit from the price drop in China conversation. Not sure our next topic is all that much more exciting, but we've got the 10Q filing. So let's talk about some of the things in there. Try to keep this pretty quick and interesting. First thing, Tesla has scheduled already their annual shareholder meeting for 2023. It's set for May 16th. That's quite a bit earlier than we've seen the last couple of years. Tesla a couple times been impacted by COVID scheduling. So a little bit closer into where it would have previously fallen on the schedule now. Next, deferred revenue, always interesting to take a look at. Tesla says that they have $2.8 billion as of the end of the quarter in deferred revenue related to FSD, internet connectivity, supercharger network, and over-the-air software updates. They say that they expect to recognize $1.09 billion of that within the next 12 months. At the end of Q2, those numbers were $2.66 billion and $1.02 billion respectively, so no major change quarter to quarter. CEO compensation, of course, we're at the very tail end of this, about $9 million left to be recognized. Five of that was recognized this quarter, so we're now at just $4 million left for hopefully Q4. For debt, we had talked previously when the earnings came out about the $900 million roughly that Tesla repaid during the quarter. Looks like about half of that was solar asset-backed loans. Tesla says for the 9 months ended September 30th, they early repaid $819 million in aggregate principal of the solar asset and loan-backed notes. That was $380 million at the end of last quarter, year to date, so $439 million in Q3. Also on solar, one of the categories I think you all know that I like looking at is the reasons for revenue or cost or profitability changes year over year. Tesla notes that in Q3, energy revenue increased 39% from last year. They say primarily due to an increase in Megapack, Powerwall, and solar retrofit deployments. Notably absent from that list would be, of course, the solar roof. Now, you could argue that it could still have grown year over year, just not a primary contributor, but doesn't sound like any significant progress there this quarter. Last couple, capital expenditures. Tesla still says between $6 to $8 billion this year and each of the next two fiscal years. That is no change from their guidance last quarter. And Bitcoin, no new impairment, of course, in Q3. All right, so not too bad there. Just a couple of other news items for today then. We do have some updates on Tesla and Mexico. We've got a report from Reuters saying that Elon Musk is considering investing in northern Mexico, according to two sources familiar with the matter. I think there were some photos of Elon meeting with some leadership there. They also report that the sources did not detail what Musk's potential investment may entail. I think it'd be tough to say that would be a factory with Fremont relatively close, Austin relatively close, but of course, a decent chunk of Tesla's supply chain there in Mexico. All right, lastly, an update on Toyota and their EV strategy. Reuters report today saying that Toyota is considering a reboot of its electric car strategy to better compete in a booming market it has been slow to enter and has halted some work on existing EV projects for people with knowledge of the still-developing plan set. All right, so I guess back to the drawing board for Toyota, probably not where you want to be here in almost 2023. I mean, this whole article is just kind of a recap of what many of us have been saying about Toyota for half a decade now. They say that the review was triggered in part by the realization that Toyota was losing the factory cost war to Tesla on EVs. Toyota's planning had assumed demand for EVs would not take off for several decades before people said. So not that it's surprising, but this would seem to all but confirm that we're not really going to be seeing any serious effort in EVs from Toyota for a number of years now. If Toyota, one of the slowest companies to be realizing what's going on here, is looking at their lineup and saying, oh, maybe this isn't going to really work that well, then it must be pretty obvious. How they then go back to the drawing board at this stage and somehow end up getting to a place that is competitive, that's a huge question. So we'll see what Toyota does, but it's going to be tough. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, October 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.